first, we're gonna have a ball.
Hi, this is Trina Parks. I'm Thumper from Diamonds Are Forever, and you are listening to On Her Majesty's Secret Podcast.
All yours, Bambi.
You're listening to Rogue Agents, episode 37, featuring the James Bond movie trailers, part 4. Welcome to the 37th episode of the Rogue Agents podcast, a part of the On Her Majesty's Secret podcast channel brought to you by our fine Patreon sponsors and White Rocket Entertainment. I'm your host for this episode, Agent Alan, although some know me as Tex. We have a couple of agents missing in action tonight, but joining me as surviving co-agents this time around are Jared. Hey Jared, what sort of 007 thing have you done since the last episode?
You know, for the 37th episode of Rogue Agents, and then before that, we did like 26, 27 rookie agents. You'd think I would have known this question was coming. you would think. I straight up forgot. But I'll tell you what. I got something right off the top of my head. A reminder to the listening audience, always go check out your local library. They almost always have a for sale section. And then on top of that, if they're doing like a big book sale, you know, used books or whatever, always go. I went to my little book sale about a week ago, 2 weeks ago. And for the price of two shiny quarters, that's 50 cents American for our international listeners, I got a paperback copy of From Russia with Love. And I got a audiobook CDs. And it came with From Russia with Love and Moonraker, double. And they both have like really cool box art and stuff. And I'm like, for a quarter each? Yeah. So check out those library sales, kids.
Yeah. That's a timely reminder because it's my local library book sale on Friday.
Go find that Bond stuff. We already have like multiple copies of these things, but it's like for a quarter. These are the things we'll give away on our, you know, X Twitter account. So keep an eye out, listeners.
And also joining us this time around is Delvin. Hey, Delvin, what have you been up to since we last spoke?
Hi, well, I guess the most Bond-like thing I've done is take out two of our agents.
that's where they are.
I don't know whether or not I should have admitted that on recording.
You earned it.
oh, buddy. Other than that, like, or to be honest, I haven't like, done much. It's been very calm and serene here in lovely Charlotte, North Carolina. So, like, I guess if I related that to Bond, like, I, you know, just took a little bit of R&R. That's about it. But thankfully, you know, I did get a massage yesterday, but thankfully no machines that went haywire. And I wasn't like, help, help. you know, like, maybe from a little bit of the pressure that my massage therapist gave me, but that's about it.
Yeah, you got to watch out for those traction machines and things like that. Yeah. Very cool. So I guess my 007, most 007 thing was a couple of nights ago, actually. I went out for dinner with some friends from one of my former work-related engagements. We just went out for a dinner. I was in town. We met up. We were having dinner. And normally when I'm out on a business dinner or whatever, I drink wine. But a couple of the other folks decided they were going to have cocktails. So I thought, what the hell? I'll join in. And ordered a vodka martini. I did then what I just did. I said vodka martini and took a breath. And everybody else around the table immediately said,
shaken, not stirred.
Exactly. And the waitress looked at us and went, what? Like, I was like, oh dear, the children today, they've got no idea.
So. And Alan burned the whole place down.
It's like, right, we've got to leave. But I just thought it was funny that as soon as I took a breath, everybody else jumped in with a shaken, not stirred. As we said, this episode is the 37th episode of our ongoing series on this channel. MI6 Rogue Agents, where we traverse the 007 universe. That could mean books, that could mean music, that could mean video games. Essentially, any medium that connects to the Bond franchise that we love so much here on Her Majesty's Secret Podcast. So let's get on with our rogue subject for this episode. For this series of Rogue Agents, where I get to pick the topic, I decided a few episodes back that we should sort of go back to the beginning and take a look at the various trailers that were issued for the James Bond movie. But we're going to mess around with the format a little. In each episode, we'll take a look at three trailers. We'll play the trailer, get the reactions of each agent, and then score it. And then at the end, we'll maybe put them in rank order for the three. This is our fourth batch of trailers, and we're going to kick things off with the trailer for a favorite movie for an awful lot of people, Roger Moore in The Spy Who Loved Me.
It's the biggest. It's the best. It's Bond. And beyond.
James Bond and the woman is Major Masova, Russian agent. Let them get ashore and then kill them.
We both know that.
Then, when this mission is over, I will kill you.
Within minutes, New York and Moscow will cease to exist.
He has Anya on there.
I know, James. I'm sorry.
I have to get her off.
How?
Well, well, well. A British agent in love with a Russian agent.
Your time's running out, Stromberg.
Yours too, Mr. Bond. Yours too.
It's the biggest. It's the best. It's Bond. And beyond.
So let's go around. Jared, first watch or rewatch for you?
Flip a coin. I've probably seen it somewhere before, but it's probably been a long time. It might as well be a first watch. Let's just say first watch.
And Dylan?
Same for me, Alan. First watch for me.
I must admit, if I have watched it like Jared, it was a long, long time ago. It was pretty much like a first watch, watching it again in prep for this. So let's go back to Delvin. What were your thoughts on the trailer?
Watching the trailer alone, could you tell me what the movie was about?
Nope.
See? Jared, are you nodding in agreement with what I'm saying, or are you nodding in agreement that you could tell what the movie was about?
I feel like, if this isn't one of my notes, like it like presents every single major set piece of the movie. Like, I feel like it gives you a great tour of the movie. It's hard to say because, you know, I've seen the movie, but it's like, okay, I saw like the undersea base rise up. I saw these two countries are going to get blown up. I saw Jaws, you know, I saw a lot of stuff. So I don't know. It's a great sampler, but I'm interested to see where you're going with this.
Well, I mean, I gave away the cat, you know, in the bag already. Like, that's my biggest complaint. Like, watching it, like, there are some cool scenes, like, you know, the aqua car, for lack of a better description, you know, and all the cool things that it did, the road scene, you know, of course, the pretty ladies. It even introduced Stromberg as the villain, and all of that's cool. But, like, I just needed, like, the narrator. That was probably the most conspicuous thing. Some of the older previews, the narrator was basically telling you everything that's happening. Like, look, there is a car on the screen. It is driving 58 miles per hour. In kilometers, that is 83 kilometers per hour. It's like, oh, okay. All right, I got it. James Bond is driving a car that's going 83 kilometers per hour. Got it. Okay, cool. You're over-explaining now, but I do get it. Like, do you understand, though? Yes. Yes, I do. So conspicuous in his absence was the narrator. So you just got, just like Jared said, scene piece after scene piece, which obviously isn't bad. That's something that you would want to showcase in a Bond movie. But like, I would have just appreciated just a little bit quick explanation as to what the plot is, especially for those newcomers that are coming on. If you're a Bond fan and you see that, you're already like, okay, done. No, just stop. I saw Bond kissing a girl. I'm going to this movie. But you always want to attract those new people. And you attract those new people by starting from the beginning at enough of a place where, like, you're not insulting the diehard fan. So I'll stop.
You needed that guy who was like, Stromberg has two nuclear subs, right? That guy.
Yes.
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 It's funny to me, though, and I know this is your show, Alan, but I just had to jump in. The sort of Delvin's complaint is like, it's a bunch of stitched together moments. And I think a lot of Bond fans who aren't the biggest fan of this movie, although Spidey Loves Me is great, we all love it, but some people aren't the biggest fan. That's their complaint about the movie. Like, it's like stitched together. And I know you're one of those guys, aren't you? It's like stitched together James Bond moments is really what that movie is. Not that there's anything wrong.
Yeah, I mean, to Delvin's point about the narrator, what's weird is you've got him at the beginning and then he comes in right at the end. But he's not really narrating the story. It's like Bond is back. And then this is the right at the end. It's like, this is the biggest Bond. But there's, I don't know, of the 3 minutes, there's probably 2 minutes of 30 seconds with no narrator. And it just... I don't know. It just seems oddly toned.
It was stark, Al.
Yeah.
It was like, because I was kind of waiting. I'm like, where's the narrator? Did I get like a bad copy? Am I, you know, should I have not listened to this on the road? So yeah, we agree totally on that.
Yeah. Probably not going to jump on your notes here, but just going on the things I think about the action shots. For me, what got me with this one is them settling Bond on the action and spectacle, not on the story.
And that's kind of this movie, right? Is
it? Yes, yeah, yeah.
You know, it's kind of a retelling of what, You Only Live Twice-ish? Just, yeah.
So, any additional thoughts, Jared?
But of course, sir, but of course.
Just showing off that you actually made notes this time.
Yes. First of all, I have a trivia question. I have a trivia question for, I'll let Delvin see if he can get it, because I know Alan will get it, but Delvin could swoop. Speaking of narrators, who was the first narrator on the first trailer? Dr. No, who was the narrator? See if Delvin remembers.
Oh, no.
I'll give you a hint. He only narrated one trailer.
What?
And we did it on the first time we did this on Rogue Agents.
Yeah. Oof. It was somebody famous, and I'm blanking. Wait, did Sean Connery do it?
Ding, ding, ding.
Yes.
Very good. She clung to me like a wet bathing suit. No,
See, you win the trivia round.
Tell Pat you lost
argue
again.
It. Pat can't argue this time.
Pat lost again. All right, just a few notes. This is the movie that debuts that new Bond theme, that disco Bond 77 style theme, and they squeezed it into the trailer a little bit. And I thought, oh, okay, that's cool. I love the fact that this movie has one of the best Bond stunts ever, the ski off the cliff, pop the Union Jack parachute. I love the fact they showed him go off and gave you nothing. Like, as a viewer, you're like, what? but what?
I thought that was very cool.
Yeah.
I thought that was very cool because my thought is like, even if he lands properly, he's going to break every leg that he has.
Well, my thought watching the trailer was, are they going to give the gag away with the parachute in the trailer? Because I haven't watched the trailer for so long. And it was like, okay, no, they just got it just at the right time.
Indeed, sir. Also with another ear for music, we might be 10 for 10 now. They used, again, the original Vic Flick, Monty Norman, John Barry Bond theme from Dr. No. It's like they know this one works and they are not abandoning it. So it makes an appearance again. And spoiler alert, a few more of the other ones we're going to talk about tonight still use it. All right. Speaking of spoilers, though, Alan, they really knew they had something with that Lotus, right?
Yeah, I mean, they give it away totally, don't they?
Away 100%. They should have done like they did with the other stunt, show them drive off into the water and cut and make them wonder.
Yeah. Or had they driven off the cliff, then just showed it emerging from the ocean. It's like, wait, what?
What's going on here? But yeah, they showed it all. The only other note I have is the one we talked about. This is a very by the numbers trailer. It's like every set piece I can think of from The Spy Who Loved Me is in the trailer. Not necessarily a bad thing.
No, I don't know if anybody else noticed it, but did you notice that one of Roger Moore's lines sounded completely different when he's talking to Stromberg at the end? I can't remember exactly the line now, but just as he's going to sit down and he says something to Stromberg, and it's like really the volume level's different and it's got a slight echo to it. Like it's been a bad dub.
Your time's running out, Stromberg.
Over.
Yeah, maybe they didn't finish the mix yet for the audio.
But it's just his line. Stromberg's reply is normal.
Yours too, Mr. Bond. Yours too.
Mm-hmm.
It's just they.
And speaking of spoilers,
yeah,
you get to see Bond dodge the under the table gun.
Yeah,
like come on, guys, yeah. learn what teasers are supposed to tease, man.
Yeah, have Stromberg say, you know, it's going to be your last or whatever it is he said, and then just show that he has like
a just show and pull the trigger and cut.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah. Way too many things given away in this trailer.
But it's still fun. It's a fun trailer.
All right, so going with that, would this have tempted you to go watch the movie back in the day, Delvin?
It would have tempted me if I were already a Bond fan or if I wanted to go see an action flick because it looked action-y enough. But like if I were a casual and I saw it, like I better be in the mood for an action flick, because otherwise I'm like, okay, I see the trailer, but what's this movie about? That's going to be my prevailing theme for this one.
Would it tempted you into the cinema seat, Jared?
And my prevailing theme for this one's going to be like, what's this movie about? It doesn't matter.
It's James Bond.
And I mean, that's kind of, again, it's kind of the theme of the movie. It's the most sort of paint-by-numbers Bond movie there is. Again, I'm not pooping on it. I love it. I know there's other fans that love it. This is a lot of people's number one movie, and I get it. It is a showcase of Roger Moore Bond, and it's wonderful. But yeah, you don't have to engage a lot of brain on this one. You can just watch and have fun, and that's part of its charm. But yeah, of course it would entice me. You know, I've never known a time in my life, Alan, that I wasn't a James Bond fan. Because of Jason and my father, I was literally born into this. So I can't do like Delvin does, kind of like separate himself. Like if I was a Bond fan, can't, like the minute this came on the screen, I'm like, I'm there. And to me, its biggest selling point was that ski off the cliff cut. Like I have to know how he gets out of this.
Yeah, cool. I guess with that, we can maybe rate the trailer from 1 to 7. Jared, as you've got the mic, how would you rate it? With 7 being you loved it, it shook your martini, down to 1 that you hated it. So
probably stirred my martini.
You stirred your martini like the waitress the other night.
didn't even get the joke, right?
No, I didn't even get the joke. All right.
It's not my favorite. I feel like some of the retro 60s ones that we saw were, and maybe it's just because they're retro and 60s and just so much fun, I liked a little better, but I still like this one. I have no problem giving it a 5.
Delvin, where would you rate this one?
I'm in the middle. I'm at a 4. Didn't think it was bad. The action scenes were certainly eye-catching enough. Just would love to show a little bit less like we talked about and then tell a little bit more just about the general plot of the movie.
Yeah. I think I'm with Jared on a 5 with this one. This one, again, watching it the other day sort of reminded me how much fun and spectacle and action Bond movies used to be about. It made me smile, brought back sort of memories of that. But I also think they gave away way too much in the trailer. So I think for that, it sort of puts it pretty much middle or slightly above middle for me as a 5.
I need to throw an addendum in here, Alan. We need to put a bit of context real quick on this trailer, or more so the movie itself, just to remind the audience that when Star Wars hit in 1977, the same year this movie came out, theaters or movie companies held back movies. Because Star Wars just, it dominated the box office for over a year. And this is one of the few movies that had the stones to say, we will compete with Star Wars, and was still successful. And I think it's something that's kind of lost the time that I like to bring up, because that's impressive.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's very impressive.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I guess talking of Star Wars, we can move on to the next movie.
I gave a segue, didn't I?
We can move on to our next movie, which was, of course, the Bond Eon Productions response to Star Wars, which was, let's take Bond from floating around under the sea and shove him out to space in Moonraker.
From the most exotic locations on Earth, Moonraker will transport you to another world.
Trifle overpowering your scent.
Holly was a warm girl with the right connections.
This possibly be the moment for us to pool our resources.
We would be better off working together.
More excitement, more thrills, more spills. And guess who's dropped in for a bite? Jaws is back. To the most spectacular adventure in space, Moonraker. It's out of this world.
What exactly are you up to here, Drax?
Moonraker 1, liftoff.
Moonraker 2, liftoff.
Moonraker 3, liftoff.
Moonraker 4, liftoff.
Our city in space.
James Bond and the treacherous Dr. Goodhead. Despite your efforts, my finely wrought dream approaches its fulfillment.
So, Jared, first watch or rewatch?
I think that's a first watch for me. I don't remember seeing that one before.
Delvin?
Same for me. First watch for me.
All right. I've got vague memories of seeing it before, but there was bits of it I had forgotten. So, all right, Jared, let's start with you. What were your thoughts on Star Wars meets 007?
That's my notes here. My first thought was after 15 years of Daniel Craig movies, this bonkers ass shit looks incredible. But anyways, all right. The Moonraker, the titles, Rapid Red, totally reminiscent of Dr. No for me with the words kind of coming in and out. And they kind of did it again at the end. That was really, I wrote this down. We'll have to check in with Delvin later. I wrote down, I like this narrator. I thought he was pretty cool. Again, he doesn't do a lot of plot stuff, but like, I like his enthusiasm. This one is strictly for Alan. I love the fact that Jaws is back gets a shout out in the trailer because he was so popular, but Alan doesn't like Jaws.
But did you notice they did? It's like, guess who's back? Big reveal. You've already showed him like four times.
So it's not the surprise that you're supposed to feel in the movie when Drax makes the phone. Well, if you can get him. No.
Yeah.
But once again, they use the original Dr. No, Vic Flick, Monty Norman, John Barry, you know, theme. Good stuff.
With some of the other cues from Diamonds.
Yes, that's. I have a note down here. Good ear, okay. Alan. I wrote a couple of cues from Diamonds. Yes. We're getting good at this music thing, Al.
We should really do a show about it.
We should do a show. This one was probably the biggest thing for me, but it just happens to fall here in my notes. Bond falling from the plane teaser. Oh, my. Just as good as him going off the cliff, if not better. Because, like, he's just falling. And then they bring in the gun barrel Albert R. Broccoli presents as he's still falling. You as the audience member is like, okay, that was great. The whole out of the plane with no parachute, you know, bit has been done. But 79, it wasn't all that common. That was kind of cool. We got Countdown Jerome and Countdown Jerry in the same trailer. So big shout out to that.
Jared marked out very big for that.
I did. I was like, oh, they put the Countdown guys in it. And this was Jerome's like debut. So that was great. I wrote down lasers with an exclamation point because, you know, this is post Star Wars. You have lasers. And then as we were watching, it wasn't in my original notes, but I just noticed that we are now, and I'll be on the lookout in this third one on this episode. We are now 2 for 2 for Roger Moore doing the grab something above his head, kick somebody out of something. He did it to Jaws on the train in the last trailer. And he did it to, was it Chang on this one, or did he do it to Jaws again? He did it to somebody. That's, I mean, his like go-to.
You know, yeah, you know, he's got that butt kick of doom.
Yeah,
that is a Moore-ism.
Unstoppable. But I was like, oh, because I noticed him on Spy Who Loved Me. I was like, oh, he did the whole grab something above his head, double kick. He did it again here. Let's see if we can go 3 for 3. I don't know. We're gonna find out.
So, Delvin, what were your thoughts? Was the narratory enough for you?
I like the narrator. The interesting thing that I think I would have done if I were selling this trailer is I would have cut it in half. That first half, even though it has some pretty cool moments like falling out of the plane and stuff like that, but it started and it's like something like other movies promise you the moon, we're giving it to you or something to that effect. And, you know, and they show the space shuttle. I'm like, because that's what makes Moonraker so unique. They definitely were capitalizing on the Star Wars zeitgeist. So play into it. Because they said, we promised you the moon, and then they did the cool Moonraker thing. But then it went to like a parade or carnival or something. Like, no. Like go to the space stuff. Like, space. Space. Oversell it. Like because the lasers.
Steve Major Williams. Taking back old rookie agents.
But that, to me, that was the coolest part of the trailer. And Moonraker, of course. And it was fine because in the movie, they did the build-up and everything that finally got you to that point. No one who watches James Bond films would be mad at the terrestrial stuff, but the draw that they wanted you to go see the movie for was the space stuff. They could have cut the trailer, did the moon and back, and played a whole bunch of stuff about the space stuff, and then maybe a few of the terrestrial things at the end of it, and then end. But the narrator did good, and I liked this trailer. I thought, like, out of the three, it's my favorite trailer. Maybe because I have an affectation for Moonraker a little bit. Like, maybe not as much as Van Allen, Plexico, but I do have an affectation because I loved it exactly for what it was. And so I think that they should have played into that space element a little.
Yeah, it's interesting what you said about the length of it or the way it was done, because in the previous one, Jared mentioned the blue gun barrel. That's how they ended the trailer. And in this one, they put that in halfway through. So you got all the terrestrial stuff. Yeah, and like you, Delvin, they showed the space shuttle and then it goes to the carnival in Rio and it's like, hang on a minute, how does that fit together?
Right. It was a weird juxtaposition.
Yeah, it was a weird transition. But then you get all the terrestrial stuff, which ends with the skydive. And then you got the blue card. And I was thinking, okay, that's the end of the trailer. And then it was like a completely different second trailer, which was all the space stuff. And did you notice, by the way, right at the end of the very end, they got the Star Wars type logo and the screen crawled, the text came up from the bottom they had the slanted on the font. Yeah. So.
Oh, I didn't notice it even. That's hilarious.
That is cool.
So. All right. So would this have made you go to the movies to see it?
Yeah, I would have gone to watch this, especially, you know, if you are a... When did Moonraker come out? 80 or 79?
79.
So 2 years after Star Wars came out, and as Jarrett talked about, dominated the silver screen for an entire year. So you know kids are still buzzing about it because there's no internet and people have longer attention spans. So if they came out with a movie that was talking about like some space element, heck yeah, cool. I mean, surely Alien got a little bit of a rub from Star Wars too, right? Because cool space adventure, except it's about, you know, xenomorphs and trying to stop it from coming to Earth. So it's a little bit more, quote unquote, based in reality than Star Wars was. But yeah, I would have been enticed to go watch this, I think, even as a casual.
Jared, would this have made you go get some popcorn?
Absolutely. You know, I took a shot at the Craig era earlier, but I kind of stand by it just because before the Craig era, I was like, well, those guys like Moonraker's ridiculous, right? It's bonkers and it's dumb, you know, guy. But now it's like I almost missed that zaniness, and every drop of the zaniness is in the trailer. You know, I've definitely come around and I like zany and bonkers now, and it just, it has it all. And I think if I'm honest with myself and I go back to thinking about this when I was a kid, because I'm old enough, just old enough to remember, I was not old enough to go see this in the movies, but I remember Jason had the trading cards, and I would flip through the trading cards, and this movie seemed fascinating to me. And they put that on the screen. They, as a kid, had I seen this, if I was just like Jason's age, because if Jason was on tonight, he would tell you how he bugged the absolute piss out of my parents to take him to see this movie. I think I would have been right there with him. It just appeals, I think, so much to, like Del was saying, the Star Wars kids. And then now that I've gone through like old and cynical, and now I'm back to childlike, it appeals to me once again. Long answer, but that trailer is just bonkers fun.
I think like the other one, watching these trailers again, I mean, I don't like Moonraker. It always used to be bottom of my list. It's not bottom of my list anymore. Gradually moving up the list. It's probably still in the bottom third, but it's gradually moving up the list. But it did, again, just remind me of just how much fun a Bond movie used to be.
Yes. Yeah. Like we mentioned earlier, I don't know if it's going to make it the edit, but just trust us. We mentioned this earlier, like Disco Moonraker plays as you walk out of the theater. Mm-hmm. When was the last time you walked out of a James Bond theater with a half-eaten bag of popcorn in one hand with this disco theme playing and you just smiling ear to ear? When was the last time that happened?
That would have been really weird after No Time to Die. No Time to Die. What the hell? He just died.
Also bizarre in the end of Majesties. Yeah. Which they still kind of
I was say they made the end of Majesties bizarre enough anyway. All right. Okay, let's get back to going once more around the world. Starting with Delvin, what was your score from 1 to 7?
Why not show some joy? Let's give it a 7. I did have a lot of fun with it. Like the space part about it was cool. And when I saw the lasers, I was like, this is cool. It isn't that cool that, you know, freaking 40-something-year-old dude is sitting there looking at this thing that came from the 70s. And I was like, this is cool. This is something I would want to see. And so it made me smile. And so if a trailer makes you smile and makes you feel something, that's a very good thing. I'll give it a 7.
Cool. Jared?
I love how Delvin skipped the whole lifelong James Bond thing like I've had. So he can look at this without that. We all went through that phase where Moonraker was at the bottom of our list, right? He's never been to that phase. And I'm so envious of that. I don't think Van ever went through that phase either, but that's fine. 7. It's bonkers fun. It makes me yearn for this kind of Bond. I love it. It's an absolute 7.
I think I'm going to give it a 6, partly because I've always had that lifelong dislike.
You gotta grow out of it.
But it's getting there. It's getting there. There's a lot of things in Moonraker I can't get past, but I'm trying to put that behind me and think, okay, if I hadn't seen the movie, would have I enjoyed this trailer? And I think I would have done. So I can't quite give it a 7, but I'm going to give it a 6, which for something associated with Moonraker is a huge score for me. So, all right. So let's go from probably the Roger Moore movie I liked the least at one point, and let's go to my favorite Roger Moore movie. And we come right back down to Earth and a bit more grim and gritty and realistic with For Your Eyes Only.
For Your Eyes Only. It's Roger Moore as Ian Fleming's James Bond 007.
Spy ship sunk in the Ionian Sea. She was equipped with ATAC.
Have we begun a salvage operation?
We asked Sir Timothy Havelock to secretly locate the wreck. He and his wife were killed by Hector Gonzalez. Police were able to identify Gonzalez by Melina, Sir Havelock's daughter.
Explosive. Exclusive.
Well, I trust you, Helcar.
For your amazement, this bond is for you.
Oh, by the way, we haven't been properly introduced, Melina. My name is Bond, James Bond.
Mr. Bond, you have shot your last bolt.
We're not dead yet.
Good afternoon, Mr. Bond. You are now flying under remote control. Goodbye, Mr. Bond.
I'm the Countess Liesel von Schloch.
Why not come in for a bite?
For your eyes only can see me through the night.
This bond is for your eyes only. No one comes close to 007. When 007 comes close to you,
Delvin, first watch or rewatch for you?
First watch for me, Alan.
Jared?
I feel like it's another first watch.
I remember watching this trailer quite a lot, so I guess I'm going to count this as a rewatch for me. Motorcycle action, so that's probably why I rewatched it a lot. So. All right, so I guess, Delvin, what were your thoughts on the trailer?
I mean, they're going to get them ski scenes. If you have a ski scene in a Bond movie, they are going to show James Bond on those slopes. That's the thing they're going to do. And that's okay. You know, I understand. Like, I don't know. I the one time I went skiing, I fell so much. I got tired of it. I was not wearing the right clothing. It was a nightmare. So I can watch if someone knows how to ski with competence and just have a little bit of jealousy. I like the narrator. I like that they explained what was going on in the movie. They did something that is a military and an English no-no. And that is, they're like, the ATAC system, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, what does ATAC mean? Because the way that they said it, like, they didn't say attack system. They said ATAC, which isn't a word. So that wouldn't key anyone in that it's an acronym. But they didn't say what the acronym meant. And I was like, you got to say what it means the first time. And then the rest of the time, you can say ATAC all you want to. I don't know, like the second lieutenant in me was like, no, 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 that's wrong. That's wrong. So Jared, did you see that? Did you note the same thing?
I don't have it in my notes, but you're absolutely right.
Yeah. That's one of the things that struck me. Melina, like it was cool to see her because she's just as lovely as ever. And it was funny that for whatever reason, they felt the need to show like a dude do like one of the worst dives off of a platform that I've ever seen.
In fairness, he got shot by an arrow in mid dive.
That might do it because I'm like,
yeah, but it doesn't look like in that trailer. There's no arrow.
Like it.
Yeah. it just looks like he did a gainer into the pool. I'm like, that looks like it hurt. But you know what would hurt worse than the gainer? An arrow in your back. Right. And lodged in the spinal region. Yeah, that would do it. I like the explanation. I like it kept a decent pace all the way through as well. I thought it fizzled a little bit at the end. And then the one thing I bring up, which obviously is an ick point for a lot of people, is like they didn't have to show the teenage girl kissing, you know, like 78-year-old Roger Moore at that point. It's like, yeah. Even in that scene, though, in defense of Roger Moore, you could tell Roger Moore was like, what the hell? It wasn't like a, I'm inviting this. It was like, which is exactly what he did in the movie. So I don't understand all the hubbub. But that said, you didn't have to advertise it either. It's like, ooh, look at this teenage ingenue, which is a word that never should have existed. But look at this ingenue. And then look at this ingenue kiss this old man. Like, no thanks. I'm good. Thank you. But, you know, again, only a small scene. And so it didn't wreck the preview for me at all. I'm not like being that emotional about it, but just something to bring up.
Cool. And Jared.
Well, let me ask you, Alan, did you notice any cues from any other James Bond movies on this one?
I think we got Vic Flick again.
We did. He's back. And there was a diamonds cue at the very beginning as well.
What's that? Okay.
I think
was that a touch of Bond 77 as well at one
point? Yeah, it's in there. It's a good job. It's in my notes too. Look at you. You should start a music show. So I think it starts off when they're like stamping the file with a diamonds cue, and then it goes into the Dr. No. I love the red 007, and they time it with, I think it's a music beat and a Roger Moore like punch 007. I was like, oh, that well done. Another spoiler, guys. Christatos is the bad guy.
Yeah, they didn't need to do that. They could have just, because if that was just there to say Julian Glover was in it, they could have had just multiple other scenes with
other
him.
Other scenes, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I may be wrong because it's been a while since we recorded the other episodes. Well, I guess I'm slightly wrong because they did feature Bond 77 and The Spy Who Loved Me. But no, let me be very specific. The actual theme song appears in this trailer. Sheena Easton singing the actual theme song appears in this trailer.
Yes, I'm so glad you mentioned that because that didn't happen in the other two trailers, but it happened in this one.
I don't know if it's happened in any ones before either, but
There's a couple of them. I think it's
maybe been Goldfinger. In, yeah. Goldfinger, yeah.
Yeah.
I think they did use it at the very end, now that I think of it.
Yeah, I think there was one other that we've done, at least one other, without going back and listening to the show.
I'm prepared to believe you.
Yeah.
I got caught up in the moment of the trailer. I just wrote, yeah, kick that MF-er off a cliff. Well, that was great.
And I mean, just in cold-blooded enough on its own without knowing any of the background and history behind it. And so when you got to that point in the movie, it's like, oh, dang. So,
you know, after Moonraker, they clearly wanted to make him darker. And I thought that shows in the trailer. There's a lot of Bond in silhouette and Bond in darkness. It's a darker, literally darker trailer. It's him in silhouette. It's him at the night fight when they raid the paper plant with some heroin, you know, extend. And we are now 3-for-3. Actually, I didn't see any butt kicks of doom, the hanging double kick. I didn't see that. Maybe I missed it. But we are 3-for-3 on interesting aerial cutaways. This one, not as strong as the other. We had the ski off the cliff. We had the off the plane, and then this one, he's dangling from the helicopter, and it's like, it's time to die, Mr. Bond. And he's literally, well, his stuntman is literally dangling off the copter, and they cut away from that. So you don't know how the dangling from the copter skid thing ends. And I thought, oh, we're 3-for-3 on good, you know, stunt trailers or teasers, I should say.
Did anybody else think that was a different voice for the Blofeld in inverted commas?
I was wondering. I was like, is that, it sounds a little off. Maybe.
Good afternoon, Mr. Bond. You are now flying under remote control.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think that was the dialogue that was used in the movie. I think it was a different voice actor.
But kudos to them for teasing Blofeld. They didn't show him. They just teased him. So that was good.
I don't even think they name him in the movie, dude.
They don't name him in the movie. No.
I remember that trivia nugget.
I still think it's very specific to try to buy someone off with a delicatessen.
Yes, it is.
It's got to be some kind of inside joke that we've just never been.
Oh, it is. It's an Albert Broccoli Italian family type.
Okay. So only I was left out of this joke. I've always been like, that is wildly specific. It's not in the trailer, though. It just popped in my head. I'm sorry. Let's stay on trailers. That's all I got.
Okay. I would say for me, the thing about this one was, I already mentioned the bike stuff in it. I mean, it has one of my favorite long stunt sequence where you get the skiing and the ski jump and the motorcycle chase and stuff. So I loved that. And it was great to catch that in the movie. That's the time I was actually riding and racing dirt bikes as well. So seeing a bunch of dirt bikes in it, I was like, whoa, yeah, this is my sort of stuff. So really loved it. But for me, I already said it's my favorite Roger Moore movie, but I think even now I think about it, I remember seeing the trailer in the movie theaters, is it was like, after my disappointment with Moonraker, it was like, oh, great, we're getting a spy story. And it comes across as a spy story rather than the big explosive action of the last two. And I really like that vibe. It really gives you that vibe from this trailer as well. You know it's Bond, but you know it's going to be a Bond spy story. And we haven't had one of those in quite a long time by this point. So
you make an excellent point, you know, thinking about Moonraker being exceptionally far away from its Ian Fleming source material and For Your Eyes Only, using some of that short story, but it's a lot of Fleming. It's Risico.
It's Risico and For Your Eyes. Yeah, For Your Eyes Only.
And Live and Let Die with the shark pulling.
That's from the end of the keel holes from the end of Live and Let Die.
Yeah. So like there's a ton of Fleming in here. It's almost like when they decided, okay, we got a little too fantastical with Moonraker. They're like, let's get hell into Fleming, you know?
I mean, we haven't had this much Fleming since Majesties.
So, yeah. So yeah, that's definitely a vibe that I think you're right. I think it comes through somehow in the trailer.
Yeah. All right. So let's go back to you, Jared. Would this get you in the movies?
Absolutely.
Well, I don't know if I said James. Oh, actually, there's one other point I wanted to mention the trailer. Going back to Delvin's favorite subject, the narrator, that it starts with that sultry female voice. And I thought, is she going to be the narrator? Are they going to change and have a woman narrate it?
That would have been interesting.
But they didn't. Then they went back to regular narrator guy. But
now, what was interesting, and I forgot to point this out, is they go from her, and actually your first narrator is a scene from the movie. It's Bond's boss, because Bernard Lee had passed away.
Right, yeah.
Laying out the scene where he lays out the plot.
Yeah, but doesn't explain what an ATAC is.
Yeah, it didn't explain it. But I was like, that's neat that they actually used, you know, basically the movie setup as the trailer setup. So yeah. I thought that was quite clever. So
yeah,
more good stuff for this, but definitely to answer your question, it would definitely fire me up. It did fire me up. I was old enough to be excited about this. Not quite old enough to go to the movies yet. I caught it on HBO a lot. This is the first song I ever requested. Listen up, kids. Back in the day, if you wanted to hear a song, you didn't go to iTunes. You called the radio station and you asked them to play it. And this is the first song I ever called and asked a radio station to play. And wait for them to play it, record it on the tape, all that stuff. So I cannot separate myself from those memories. Absolutely, 100%, I would go see this movie based on the trailer.
Delvin, was this enough narration to get you in the movies?
Yeah, Alan, it would. Because we didn't even mention some of the parts like the keel hauling, the hint at Blofeld, any number of the action scenes, you know, with Melina, you know, shooting a bow, which was crazy freaking cool. And she was one of my favorite Bond ladies in the movies. Because, like, I mean, she was about that action. She wanted it all. And you got to see that a little bit in the trailer. So there's a lot to like. And I think if I watched it and was in the mood for an action movie as a casual, yes, as a Bond guy, especially if I thought that Moonraker was campy or a little out there for James Bond, I would look at this one and say, okay, I didn't see any satellites.
No Jaws, no space shuttles.
Yeah, no Jaws, no space shuttles, you know, action there here on Terra Firma. I like it. So I think both sides would have something to want to go see.
Cool. And by the way, I agree. You can't go wrong with a strong woman with a crossbow in any movie.
Big Huntress fan, are you, Alan?
Just a bit, yeah. All right. So I guess we're around to scoring it. So let's start with Jared. What would you score this one?
Man, this was a good one, too. I wrote down 5 originally, but through our discussion, I think I'm going to bump it to a 6. I think it was a lot of fun and a lot of energy. So yeah, I'll give it a 6.
And Dovin?
I'm with Jared. I'll give it a 6 also. I don't even think I need to add anything. Enough said. What about you, Alan?
I think I'm going to join you two guys and we'll make it unanimous 6 on that one. There's a lot of good stuff in this that I enjoyed. And like I said, I think it really set the tone for the movie, reset the tone for the franchise. And I think a lot of that just came through in the trailer.
I'd be remiss if I didn't point out this was a very grounded, very Fleming, very dark version, but you still left the theater with a half a bag of popcorn and a smile on your face as you walked out.
You and this half a bag of popcorn.
Yeah, don't you ever eat your popcorn when you
Let me not lie. Let me not lie. My bag is empty by the time the trailers are over at the beginning. Okay. But I won't harp on it, but just miss that feeling.
All right, so that brings us to the end of looking at the individual trailers. So let's put them in order, although I have a feeling I know what the orders are going to be. So let's start with Delvin. How would you rank these three trailers?
Moonraker, For Your Eyes Only, The Spy Who Loved Me.
Jared.
That was 1, 2, 3, right? You started with 1. Yeah, okay.
I did.
All right, yeah. I was just checking because I was like, wait, the number's not adding up. I have it at, well, that's funny. Because now my numbers don't add up because I did that last minute. Originally, I had it at number 1 was Moonraker, 2 was Spy Who Loved Me, and 3 was For Your Eyes Only. But through our discussion, I guess I would have to change that to 1 is Moonraker, 2 is For Your Eyes Only, and 3, The Spy Who Loved Me. But, I mean, if I'm honest with myself, For Your Eyes Only and Spy Who Loved Me, I think they're both really good. Flip a coin. But 1 was Moonraker. And to me, it's really all about him falling out of a plane into a gun barrel, and then they give you nothing else. And you're just like, okay, need more. And I love that feeling.
Okay, so I guess for me, it would be For Your Eyes Only at number 1. And amazingly, and I would never have thought this before we started the show, Moonraker at number 2, and The Spy Who Loved Me at number 3.
That's called growth, Alan.
Is it? Okay.
One day you'll be as mature as me and I couldn't manage it.
God help me. All right. And on that wonderful note, that's the show for this time around. As a reminder to our audience, if you'd like to be a part of the show, you can send us your questions, comments, or trivia challenges, which Delvin, of course, will get 100% right, to ohmspod@outlook.com or over on our Twitter X page @ohmspod. If you'd like, you can even use the email as a reminder. Again, that's ohmspod@outlook.com. to send us an audio recording of your question or comment, and we might even play it on the show. Please try to keep your audio file to around 30 seconds or less, and we would love to hear from you and make you part of the show. Also, if you're an Apple Podcast listener, we'd greatly appreciate if you left a review for the show. That will help raise the show's profile to attract more of the 007 family to this program. And as a reward for leaving a review, we'll read your entire review on an upcoming episode of MI6 Rogue Agents. I would like to thank Jared and Delvin for joining me this episode, and also all the best to Pat and Jason wherever they are in the world on their secret missions. I hope they will return soon. So before we go, let's find out where the listeners can find us on the internet. Delvin, where can you be found on the interwebs?
DEE_RAY on Twitter/X, Delvin Ray on Instagram. What about you, Jared?
I am at Yard Sale Artist on X and Facebook and Instagram. You can check out my art wares at www.theyardsaleartist.com. Alan.
And for James Bond stuff, you can find me on Twitter X at Bond Lexicon, on Instagram and Tumblr at James Bond Lexicon. And of course, there is the jamesbondlexicon.online website, which is a companion website to our James Bond Lexicon book, available at all good online book retailers. So thank you for listening, and we hope that you enjoyed this episode of the MI6 Rogue Agents. If you enjoyed this crew and want to hear more from them, but in the realm of comic books, check out The Long Box Crusade. Jared, where can that be found?
Well, Alan, I'm glad you asked. The Long Box Crusade can be found in lots of different places. We're on pretty much all the podcasters. We're also at Long Box Crusade on YouTube. And if you want to check us out on social media, we are at Long Box Crusade on X, Facebook, Instagram, Geocities, Skip Scaps Kabobbles, and Smurfanerk.
I think you may, you know what? You're on a roll. Keep going.
That's all I got.
All right. So thanks to the fellas for taking on yet another dangerous mission. And thanks to the listeners who tuned in. Again, just to remind you, if you'd like to leave a question or a comment on this or any of the other episodes, feel free to contact the show on Twitter X at OHMSpod or email us at OHMSpod@outlook.com. We hope to hear from you soon. The next episode of MI6 Rogue Agents will feature Jared's Choice.
Ooh, get ready for some BBC radio drama.
I was thinking that what it might be. And on that note, on Her Majesty's Secret Podcast, we'll return.
This episode features the James Bond GoldenEye 007 Trap Remix by The Whiddler.
Once when I was with Em in Tokyo, we had an interesting experience.
Outtakes.
Thank you, Miss Moneypenny. That's all, that's all.
Cue trailer.
Hold me, the spy who loved me, keeping all my secrets.
All right. Safe to
Where are you?
I don't sing the themes.
Right, come on, disco version, Delvin. Disco version.
Gotta get that. Where is that moonlight train that leads to your sky? Go ahead and play.
See if I can get this rolling. Go ahead, Delvin.
Wait, for your eyes only, only for you. That hair is ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't want to be using that Old Spice. I don't know, actually. Maybe if we use Old Spice, we might be using it.